Good afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Friday. To get you through another crazy, wild, maddening day of news that we're going to figure out together. Live on the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH. Streaming live on the KTTH smartphone app. We got a lot to get to. We only have, only 2 hours left to do it. We'll take you through the latest violent crime out of the Seattle International District. It's absolutely insane. A shocking bit of COVID fraud coming out of Illinois. I'm almost speechless as to what happened. You are going to be shocked when you find out. Plus, a new strain of COVID was found by Wazoo researchers. The Coug strain. We're going to get into that and so much more this hour of the Jason Rancho, brought to you by 3010weightlossforlife.com. Lots of news happening all around the world right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
It's unfortunate that the International District is constantly getting plagued by violence, by crime, just by bad news. And Como TV has a piece out focusing on the International District, specifically being what feels like a magnet for crime. It's really dangerous. The latest incident happened yesterday. We talked about it when it happened. A man was killed. I believe he's 36 years old, was murdered there. Didn't get many details, still haven't. It's an open investigation. The suspect or suspects still on the loose. And at some point, there's a breaking point, right? At some point, people who live there or who work there or who frequent there start to lose hope. And that's where it appears we are for a number of people. That, at least according to Como, and I believe it. Hoi Ning Chim runs a restaurant there. And he feels like the city just doesn't really care about crime.
I don't feel like the city is caring about us. Since the problem getting worse and worse. Fuji Bakery, it's been breaking for 4 times ever I remember in the half year.
How many more instances will he and so many others have to experience of this kind of violence? Now, of course, he, like so many others, not the activist crowd, but so many others have been saying this for a while, we just want more police.
I think we need a bit more police in the area to come by a little more. I think that will be help a lot.
It would. It would help a lot. Absolutely. I don't think there's any question as to the impact police would have in this particular neighborhood, or frankly, anywhere in Washington. Turns out bad guys don't commit crimes right in front of cops. I mean, maybe now they do with drugs, but other than that, guess what they're not doing? They're not shooting people in front of police officers because they know a cop would make an arrest or shoot them. But the reality is we don't have enough police officers because of what this state and what this city did to our police departments, to our police officers, calling them racists, racist murderers. In fact, our friend Jesse Johnson is trying to get into a Twitter battle with me. He's going to lose because he's an idiot. But he said that, some police got angry because their culture must shift and they can't go around killing people. And there he spells T-H-E-Y-R-E because he's an idiot. Ugh. When you go after cops like that, they tend not to want to be police anymore, and they leave. And by the way, in this very neighborhood, you had a bunch of activists who were led by people like Tammy Morales, who is the representative for at least a portion of this neighborhood on the Seattle City Council. They're out there telling cops not to show up. We don't want cops here. That's what the activist group said. That's what the politicians say. And yet the actual people... And I guess we might as well just jump into this theme, because all week and all last week, we've talked about how King County Executive Dow Constantine isn't actually listening to anyone in the neighborhood when he decides to put in a big homeless shelter that's going to have 500 beds in addition to all the other shelters and services that are available there, turning this basically into one large tent city. They didn't talk to anyone on the ground. Do you think any of the folks who took the position that we shouldn't have any cops in that neighborhood. You think they were spoken to, the people there? They weren't. They weren't. Although, in fairness, you may not want to talk to all of the folks, because there's some people who say, yeah, we want more cops, but we want cops that look like us. They apparently have to be Asian. Lin Tai runs a volunteer group in this neighborhood.
It'll help make the people feel and know that they're heard and safe because they have somebody who look like them, talk like them.
Look like them, talk like them. I don't think that's really all that important, with all due respect. And again, something tells me that if you take all the activist groups out of it and you talk directly to individuals who live there, who work there, they're not really going to say, okay, I want some cops, but they better be Asian. If it's not a Chinese cop or a Japanese cop, if it's not someone who's Thai, I'm going to have to nitpick on this one. I'm going to have to send them away. They just need help. And frankly, when you're desperate for help, it doesn't really matter the color, the race, the religion, the gender, none of that. When you're calling 911 because you need help, I'm not saying, hey, before you send an officer over, as someone's breaking into my home currently, can you? I think I can hold out for the Jewish cop. I'll chill for a bit. Don't worry, I'll hunker down in the bathroom or in the closet. I should be able, that'll give me at least another 8 minutes. I don't think they're going to be able to break into my closet that quickly. So could you just send over a Jew? And if you got one who's gay, because you know I'm single, just send one of those officers over. They're not doing that. That's not how it works. So this idea they have to look like me is just so silly. It's so silly. But at the end of the day, here's something we all know. They need the support. They need the support. The question is, when will people actually step up and listen? And then, not just listen, but put those calls of action into that action. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? National.
So some insane COVID abuses happening in Illinois. And this is a story that is like an explosion of COVID insanity, but also criminal justice reform all in one. So it happened in Joliet. Police and the Fed say 15 people were arrested for filing fraudulent PPP loan applications while in custody on felony gun or drug charges. Oh, yes. Cops say that the felons, or excuse me, if we want to adopt the language of the left, people experiencing incarceration. They were using jail phones to complete this process. They were on the jail phones, connecting with people from the government to get their PPP loans. Some of them ended up spending the money that they got to post bond and get out of jail. Now, according to the Chicago Tribune, they say 15 have been arrested as of this past Wednesday. Another 10 had warrants out for their arrest. Most of the fraudulent loans were for about $19,000 or $20,000. So between 19 and 20K. They say the majority of the suspects had open felony cases, which would disqualify an applicant from receiving a PPP loan. Bank records also indicated that some of the suspects used the illegal loans to bond out of custody, according to law enforcement agents. They could have just connected with Kamala Harris. She could have raised money to get them out of jail. She does that a lot. They say many of the individuals targeted during the investigation listed the fake businesses as a sole proprietorship, a barbershop, or a hair salon. Joliet Police Detective James Kilgore said, the majority of them also used their home address, so we did several periodic spot checks on their residence. The dummies used their home addresses. I know, kids. It's funny, I know. Okay. Yeah, stop it. Stop. Okay. Oh, my God. Stop. It's not that funny. It's not that funny. Said, it just looked like a residence. There was no actual business there. So, first of all, is anyone actually shocked by this? I have to assume that every single person listening to me at this point, you might roll your eyes, but you're probably saying, yeah, of course. Of course. Because we knew the PPP loan program. We knew that it was never truly going to go through any kind of oversight. We knew because this was pushed, and in fairness, Republicans pushed this too. But this was pushed through with the idea of just helping a whole bunch of people who are being hurt by COVID. We got to rush to get this money out no matter what. Just get it to the people and we'll worry about any of the fraud afterwards, which is exactly how government usually operates. We don't truly care about the fraud, especially if we think it could help us politically. And obviously, there were a lot of people who used the PPP loan program as a means to gain some sort of political advantage. See, I did something to help you. So imagine, though, how much more scamming there was, there is, that we still don't know about. It is September of 2022, and we are now just finding out about this particular scam. Why could they not figure this out before they handed out the money? They obviously didn't check to see whether or not someone had a business license. Why would you do this afterwards? Why wouldn't you just do a quick search wherever it is, whether it's in Illinois or somewhere else? You go online, you can check to see whether or not someone has a business license. Something tells me that these drug dealers and these other criminals didn't actually have a business license. Why do we allow this to happen without any meaningful political consequences? Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Big picture.
So let's talk about the big picture out of Oregon. You're going to recall that Governor Kate Brown tried to force first responders to get vaccinated. And if they didn't get vaccinated, they would lose their jobs. And as I'm sure you'll recall, because we dealt with pretty much exactly the same thing here in Washington State, people decided to leave, call it quits. I'm out. I'm done. Bye. They didn't want to work for people who did not respect their bodily autonomy. It's so ironic because it comes from folks on the left who will tell you that they support your right to choose so much that they're willing to turn the other way if you were to abort your child the moment before you give birth. That's how far the right to bodily autonomy goes, except when it comes to the vaccine. When it comes to the vaccine, they have control over your body. They have control over your body. Huh. So a lot of people walked in Oregon. Now you've got a huge shortage of EMS workers. Firefighters, medics, huge shortage. And the ones that remain employed, they are feeling burnt out because they're working longer shifts. Why are they doing that? Because they have to make up for the lost staff. And again, the exact same thing is happening here in Washington State. Exactly the same thing. And it's not just happening in Portland or Seattle. It's happening across the board. Dacia Graber is an Oregon State representative. She happens to also be a firefighter.
It's not unusual right now for your public safety professionals to be working 72, 96, even 120 hours a week.
That's not healthy. That's not healthy. That's not safe. You want your firefighters, your medics, your police, your whomever is a first responder, you want them alert. You want them quick. And the longer you're working, the more burnt out you are, the slower you will be. And they will not live up to their own expectations on the job. That's happening right now in Oregon. It's happening right now in Washington. It's happening in California, in Massachusetts. It's happening in Minnesota, New York. It's happening in Democrat-run cities and states. And there doesn't appear yet to be a plan to address it. And if there is, they're just not talking about it publicly. I've certainly heard folks say, hey, we need to get a better contract and pay people a little bit more. I've heard that. That's a long-term game, right? It's a long-term game, and it's part of it. I mean, especially in Oregon, some of them are making nothing. There are some EMS workers, according to one person in that KATU television report, that say they can make more or as much at McDonald's. That's not treating the job and the skills with respect. So pay is a part of it. But have you heard any movement yet in a meaningful way? Just let's look on the county level, King County. To get rid of vaccine mandates from the government worker standpoint? I haven't. We're still operating under COVID rules for the jail. They won't book people because they claim that it's just too dangerous because COVID. They're not walking a lot of this back despite knowing that it's hurting them. And at least, and I've said this before, just intellectually, I understand why someone might want to mandate a vaccine if that vaccine actually stopped people from catching COVID. Like, I would disagree with the government taking that position, because I don't think the government has the right to tell you what medical decisions you should make. But at least I would understand it intellectually, because you're saying to yourself, look, it actually works. It stops people from getting sick, and we don't want people to get sick in our building, especially those who are vulnerable. People who get sick, stay home, don't work. That costs us money. Like, I get it intellectually, even though I'm against it. I don't understand the argument now when we know it doesn't stop the spread of COVID. And when I've asked lawmakers, or at least their offices, like, how do they justify it now? They've switched their argument. It used to be it stops the spread of COVID. Now it's, well, it stops people from getting so sick that they end up going to the hospital or staying out longer, which means they're going to stay in the office more time, less time out of the office, more efficient, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Number one, I don't actually think the data backs that up anymore. It seems to me that the vaccine doesn't stop people from staying out of work. And the people who are getting sick, I believe, and we talked about it yesterday, like, a huge chunk of them, about half, are vaccinated. People who are getting COVID. And by the way, people getting COVID twice, vaccinated. So they're still staying home, and they're still staying home the 5 days or 6 days or whatever the new details are. So it doesn't make any sense. But even if you agree with that argument, that at least it keeps people from getting too sick, that means they're going to spend more time working. Okay, why not then mandate the flu shot? Why not then ban people from smoking? We've had conversations about that in the past. Why not then tell people, yeah, you can't eat sugar. No starchy vegetables. It'll put on the pounds. No carbohydrates, no empty calories. We're not allowed. Is that a Coke in your hand? No, not here, not in our office. That will lead to obesity, and that's going to make you sick, and that's going to keep you out of the office. Why don't they do that then? I'm not arguing that they should, but why don't they? What is then the argument against it, and would you be okay with it? Because there are a lot of people, perhaps less so in this audience who are listening, but there are a lot of people who hold the position that they like the idea of mandating a vaccine, because sometimes you just have to do what's best for the other person. They say that, by the way, while allowing people to smoke fentanyl on Third Avenue in downtown Seattle. But okay, if they told you then you can't have any booze, that you can't have white bread, that you can't have sugary drinks, would you then be okay at that point? How much are you okay with the creep into your personal life? What is that bar that you don't want to cross? Or what's that bar that you don't want to go past? Because I guess a vaccine mandate on a vaccine that doesn't stop the spread of COVID, that doesn't exceed your bar. Okay, what does? And I'm asking that sincerely. I have to imagine there are some people who are listening right now who hold the position that the vaccine mandate is fine. No judgments. I disagree with you, but you're allowed to have stupid opinions. I'm kidding. You're allowed to have that opinion if you want. But what then would stop you from accepting whatever comes next, all in the same name of, or same vein of stopping people from getting sick and taking time off? Put that Coke down. Put it down.
Sorry.
I'd love to hear that. And you can send me a text. You can send me an email, ktth.com. Send me a text at 1-800-465-8770. I've asked this question of people, and I never seem to get an answer. I see a lot of deflection, ton of deflection, but never quite get an answer. And I just, I wish media outlets would push people on this. Hey, you guys do meaningless man on the street segments all the time. You have to put together a 3-minute and 17-second package. You've got 12 seconds. You're just struggling to fill. Hey, Joe, go talk to some dope outside. Get their hot take on this. Go in front of people. What do you think about the fires that are happening? Oh, well, gee, fire's bad. I don't like having to breathe in the smoke. Thanks. That's perfect. Great. Thanks. That was it? Yeah, that's it. So why not the next time you're out there, why don't you start asking those kinds of questions to the people who are still pushing for the vaccine mandate? because people still are pushing for it. It's so absurd. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation. Don't forget, Freedom Series on October 12th, Wednesday, October 12th in Renton. It's going to be a blast. Special guests, lots of fun, lots of opportunity to talk through some of these issues with me and Brian Suits. Lots of photos. We can't wait to meet you. Tickets are only $12, which explains why they're already almost half sold out. You've only been selling them for a week, and they're almost half sold out. KTTH.com or text the keyword freedom to 1-800-465-8770. The IRS continues to be aggressive. They're increasing the number of officers in Washington state. So please don't try to take on the IRS yourself. Contact our local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn, at Nunn Better Tax Resolution. He will help. N-U-N-N. Nunn Better Tax Resolution. When we come back, we're going to dive into the wonderful world of the big local. A tragic story out of Edmonds just got worse. Plus, Wazoo researchers found a new strain of COVID. Maybe. We'll try to figure it out. You've been listening to What's Trending, brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Gutters.
KTTH.
Yum, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. 4:30 on the nose. On a weekday afternoon, that means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services, online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead, we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. I want to briefly start in Federal Way, where the retired state representative, Jesse Johnson, continues to try to get me to fight him on Twitter, and it's not going well for him because I'm just smarter than he is, but also he's on the wrong side of this. This is a guy who's responsible for the left-wing assault against police officers in this state. He is responsible in large part for the suite of bills that passed the legislature, making it harder for cops to do their jobs. And of course, he's upset that a number of Snohomish County lawmakers, as well as law enforcement officials, a bipartisan group, by the way, have come out and asked the state legislature to change the reforms, to fix them. Now, he claims that this is all political. It's just shocking that it happens. Just so happens to be around political season. He claims that Cassie Franklin, who is a part of this, is a Republican in a Democrat suit, which is just so dumb. It's just so dumb. This is a guy who probably never has been to Everett and has never met Cassie Franklin. Cassie Franklin is definitely not a Republican. So he's defending his bills, and he claims that cops are mad. This is a quote. Some police got angry because their culture, and he misspelled there, must shift, and they can't go around killing people. So he thinks that cops just are mad that they can't go around killing people. And in this, he tags the Washington State Fraternal Order of Police, because apparently he thinks that they're on his side. So we're inviting him on, right? Marco Montablanco?
Yeah, I already did. Okay.
So we're inviting him on the show. I'd like to talk to him. He's been on the show many times. But I would love to know if they support their friend Jesse Johnson saying that. Because they're being used, the Washington State Fraternal Order of Police are being used to defend the bills that were passed. I'm kind of curious if they believe what he just said. Do they endorse that statement? I'd like them to go on record and tell us. No one has ever accused me of being an enemy to law enforcement. Quite the opposite. I'm called a shill for law enforcement. So you'll obviously get a fair share at some airtime to defend this. And I'm assuming that they won't. So let's see if they actually call Jesse Johnson out, because he's using them, and Democrats have been using them, to justify some of the awful bills that, yes, the Washington State Fraternal Order of Police ended up endorsing. All the other organizations didn't. Chiefs of police, sheriffs all across the state, they said this is bad. But one group said it wasn't. I'm kind of curious why they decided to do that. And if they're okay being used by cop haters like Jesse Johnson. I'd love to know that. So hopefully Mr. Montablanco will come back on the show. We take a turn to Edmonds. This is just a disturbing, disgusting story that can only happen in Washington, but also California, Oregon, Massachusetts, New York, and Minnesota. Illinois, sorry, I forgot them. John Fry allegedly confessed to killing his father in Edmonds back in 2019. He's not going to suffer any consequences, however, because he's had the murder charge dismissed because there's no space for him at Western State Hospital. You see, this guy apparently has schizophrenia, and he needs to be treated at Western before the charges move forward so that he is competent to stand trial. But since there are no space available for him, no beds available for him, Snohomish County Superior Court Judge Janice Ellis found that him continuing to wait to get a bed at Western State could violate his due process rights. This according to the Everett Herald. She's quoted in court as saying this week, his dangerousness, I don't even think that's a word. His dangerousness is obvious, yet it is not appropriate to maintain him in the Snohomish County Jail without a reliable path towards restoration services. So I'm going to dismiss the case without prejudice. And that just means that you can refile it in the future. So this is a guy who apparently murdered someone, allegedly murdered someone. His father, whom according to the Everett Herald, they say that he believed his father was abusing him. He never actually was assaulted by his dad, but it's the schizophrenia, the mental health issue that he's dealing with, that created this story in his head that his father was abusing him. And at one point, one night, after apparently looking up ways to potentially kill his dad, he snapped. He punched and punched and punched his father until he stabbed him multiple times to death. This is the guy who's being released because of two things. Number one, incompetence from the Inslee administration, not being able to actually fund mental health care in this state. Can't blame Republicans for that. Y'all are in charge. You guys have raised taxes how many times now? You've had record revenue coming in how many times now? What did you do with that? You didn't put it into Western Hospital. You're not putting it into mental health care. So that's number one. Number two, a judge who made a very dangerous decision, and I know she thinks she means well, Janice Ellis, but the fact of the matter is we're dealing with a situation in the city we don't talk about during this segment. But we have a guy, Alexander J., who was first accused, seen on video, broke this story on Tucker Carlson, throwing a elderly nurse down a flight of stairs multiple times, then allegedly going to a bus stop where he stabbed a woman nearly to death, allegedly, before then later that night or overnight murdering a random person, allegedly. This is a guy who also is dealing with mental health issues, needs to be in a bed at Western State Hospital, still hasn't been able to get one, but the judge at least said, we're going to keep you in jail because you are such a threat. Why didn't that judge do that here? Curious. In Ellensburg, researchers at Wazoo have been looking at viruses found in Russian bats because they want to try to predict what kind of illness the next pandemic might actually be. And they found a new coronavirus. I'm calling it the cougar virus. Nah.
The cougar virus. You almost had it there. Yeah. If you would have rolled off the tongue smooth, people would have gone with it.
I'll go the
coronavirus.
I don't like how that sounds. Let's just call it the Coug virus.
When we're thinking about designing.
Which, by the way, is what you get when you talk to someone who went to Wazoo and is just so insufferable about the fact that they went to Wazoo. I don't get it. Just shut up, man. It's Wazoo. Relax. Just relax. It's Wazoo.
Who do you know that's bragging?
Everyone in this building.
Really?
Half the people here went to Wazoo. It's so annoying.
When we're thinking about designing the next vaccine, and there are many groups now working on universal coronavirus vaccine to try to prevent future outbreaks, this would be the type of information that would go into that kind of design.
That's Professor Michael Letko. He says to our sister station, Cairo News Radio, that what's concerning about the coronavirus that they've been finding in Russian bats is that they could potentially infect human cells.
These Russian viruses, they were part of a group that we didn't think previously had any of the ability to actually infect human cells. And then what we actually found was that that's not the case, and they can do it quite well.
Boo. They say not all bat viruses can do this, or excuse me, not all Coug viruses can do this. The infection could happen through a third party, like a human coming into contact with an animal that had been in contact with a bat. this doctor, his colleagues, they all just put it in a new research paper.
The bigger point for our paper is more like, not necessarily that this is the virus that'll be one that we need to be worried about, but more that there are these types of concerning viruses elsewhere.
Okay. So it's pretty clear he's saying this might not be the one. But it's also clear that he's saying it could be. And it's a coronavirus. Y'all better not call it the coronavirus. We're done. You cannot call it coronavirus. You cannot say it's a new coronavirus. You cannot say it's a new strain of a coronavirus. No one will listen to anything you say. And that's, of course, dangerous, because I certainly would concede that it's possible tomorrow there's a brand new pandemic that is truly dangerous that we all have to be worried about. And we shouldn't ignore public health officials. I think we can all concede that that's a possibility. You call it a coronavirus, no one's going to trust you. No one's going to think, oh, well, this time it's actually going to do the damage that we were told it was going to do. I was told that like half the population would be dead by now. Kids would just be dead from coronavirus. We were told all these things. You do that now, every single person will say, okay, moving on with my life. I was reading a story this morning out of LA, where I guess they still have a mask mandate for their airport and their bus. And I'm reading this story and I'm thinking, it hasn't even occurred to me, honestly, it has not occurred to me in the last several months to even think about putting on a mask or bringing a mask with me anywhere. I'm just so over it. I'm done. I don't care anymore.
I haven't had to wear one since I've been back. Not one time.
You got lucky. And did you ever have to wear one in Oklahoma? In Oklahoma?
Very, very.
Did anyone
briefly.
Ever have a mask on in Oklahoma? Just it, right at the beginning, right at
there
the
was
very
about
beginning.
That first 2 to 3 months, yeah. Everybody took it serious, and then it was over.
Yeah, and then it was,
then it was over.
Did you guys all die? Were you the last
so.
One alive to leave Oklahoma? Oh, you were fine. Got it. But I thought everyone died from it. 1-800-465-877 if you want to join the conversation. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rants Show. Thank you so much for tuning in, and hello to all the newbies who heard me fill in on the Dan Bongino show, who are all like, that young man seems very, very on top of things. I think I'm going to tune into his radio show this Friday. And then, bam, all of a sudden, you find yourself tuned in to this radio show on this Friday. Thank you so much for doing that. Don't forget, if you ever miss a moment of the show, you can always check out the podcast. All you have to do is head on over to wherever did you get your podcast, search Jason Rants Show and then hit the subscribe button. Or, of course, go ahead, send that text with the keyword podcast to 1-800-465-8770. And I'll go ahead and send you a link to not just my show, but also the Brian Suits morning show. I know you're going to like it. You also know, for those of you who actually listen to the show on a regular basis, I find myself weirdly interested in when iconic companies go through an evolution. And I think part of my interest is because I've only known, in this case, Starbucks as a sort of cultural institution. I don't find their coffee to be particularly good, nor do I actually think their service is always really well done or well handled. But I certainly know Starbucks as this behemoth in the coffee company, the one that outlasted so many others. They were the ones who were on every single corner of every single block that I saw when I visited for the first time Seattle or Portland or so many other cities in the Pacific Northwest. So to see how they're handling this post-COVID reality of shifting consumer habits and dynamics and needs and wants, I just find that completely just interesting to me, because this is a company that might not last if they don't adopt. So they, and we told you this a couple weeks ago, that they've unveiled this new strategy to basically become more efficient. And what I'm seeing them do is something that I told you would happen years ago. In fact, if you go back and listen to shows that I did when I was on our sister station, Cairo News Radio at night, you would have heard me say at the height of the $15 now movement, you are hastening the end of this industry, of the labor market as you know it, because you are not worth what you are demanding. And you are going to push folks into automation. And that's what they did. That's what they did. Starbucks unveiled automated machines. automated machines that will make it that much easier and faster to create certain drinks. And while they will not tell you this, certainly not right now, the end goal is to replace the baristas. Not all of them. You will still have human beings in these stores, but you'll have less of them because robots will be taking over. On top of that, they have made changes to their business with drive-through and more pickup-only stores. Part of the reason why they're doing that, again, is driven by the fact that a lot of people just aren't going to coffee shops the way that they used to. And I think part of it is because of remote work, that people are just staying at home and working at home rather than go to the coffee shop to work. But they say the efficient machines, one that shortens a 20-step cold brew process to 4 steps, that is going to take someone's job away. 100% is going to take people's jobs away. They're calling this a reinvention for Starbucks. There's actually a piece in the Seattle Times this morning. This is a reinvention. And that reinvention means they're going to make a lot more money. And again, it's going to come from getting rid of humans. Getting rid of humans. They are trying to adopt this just sort of quick in and out approach to coffee. That's why they're doing the drive-thrus. That's why they're doing the efficient ways of making a beverage, because they know you don't want to go in and wait any longer. You have, as a consumer, decided, yeah, it's time for me to move on. I'm just going to come in, get out. That's it. I want it truly to be fast food, even though it's not a fast food organization or one that we would traditionally call it as that. And they use this language in this piece in the Seattle Times, basically quoting one of their reinvention days. And they say that people are looking for experiential convenience. So you get an experience still, but it's still convenient to you. And what that means is obviously going to be something different from individuals, but this idea that you can go in, and they make a big deal about how social media has really transformed Starbucks, especially some of the drinks. And what they mean by that is you can go online. Let's say you go on Twitter and you look for certain kinds of inventions that just the customer base have come up with. And so when you go in, you're getting this Frappuccino, but you're hacking it with all these different kinds of ingredients that technically are available, but they're not on the menu. And so they're trying to still embrace that experience that you would get by getting this special drink that isn't actually on the menu and is actually kind of a pain in the butt to put together. But with the automated process, it still is now convenient to you, and it's also convenient to make. It's no longer a pain in the backside. So they are going down this path. It is so obvious. It was always obvious. You didn't need the pandemic to know that they would have to eventually change the way they do business. All businesses have to evolve. People's habits change with generations. And we're going through that generational change for Starbucks, of the people who go to Starbucks. And what that ultimately will mean is that people will be out of a job. Starbucks will be okay, assuming people actually want what they say they want. And, you know, we have no reason to believe otherwise at this point. But people are going to be out of a job soon. And here's the question that I asked, you know, during the $15 minimum wage issue. So what was that, 8 years ago, 10 years ago? God, I'm old. I'm so old. But what I said then, I'll say now, what did you do or what are you doing to prepare for this inevitability? You think it's going to stop at Starbucks? It's not. It's not. Any business, any corporation, any small business that can turn to a computer to do a job, they will do that. If they're able to, they will do that. End of story. You can hope and pray that they won't all you want, but they will. So what are you doing to prepare? Knowing the situation you're currently in right now, only you know your current situation. Number one, is your job under threat because it can be done by a computer? If the answer is yes, then what are you doing about it? Working hard without gaining new skills that a computer can't do is not going to cut it, unfortunately. It's not. So what are you doing? Some of you can go back to school. Some of you could work on different skills within the industry that will make you incredibly important down the line. Others will continue to do what the labor unions are asking of you, which is to just beg for more money. Give me more money. But you're not worth more money. Anyone who is foolish enough, and I mean that, foolish enough, to listen to the demands of a ludicrous, an increasingly ludicrous leadership structure within unions, you found yourself right now, you're finding yourself in a really tough spot. You allowed them to put you there because you listened to them. Were they doing anything to help you get more skills? Were they doing anything to prepare you for the future? Was Shama Sawant, as she was pushing for the $15 minimum wage, are the folks in Tukwila who are pushing that referendum or initiative for $15 minimum wage or minimum wage hike, are any of them preparing you, doing anything to prepare you for the future? Nothing. They are motivated by higher wages because that helps their bottom line, right? Higher wages means more fees that go into unions. Higher wages means Shama Sawant and other politicians effectively are bribing you in a more legal way. They're getting you more money or thinking they're getting you more money so that you keep them in positions of power, but they are failing you in the long term. And you know they're failing you in the long term. So again, the question is, what are you doing to prepare? And if you haven't yet done anything, and if you haven't even started to think about doing anything, you better make sure that this weekend is that time where you sit down and you truly think about what your future is going to hold. Think about the jobs that can be replaced by a computer. If you hold that job, understand, it may not be next month, it may not be next year, but it is inevitable that your job will be replaced. Prepare now, and you will be in a much better spot than most everybody else in your industry. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation, send me a text. Don't forget, the Freedom Series is happening on October 12th. Please get your tickets this weekend. We are now over half sold out. I'd love to see you in Renton. October 12th in Renton, Carco Theater. Brian Suits and I will be discussing some of the big issues heading into the midterm elections. And we got some special guests on the docket that I know you're going to be excited to see. Text Freedom to 1-800-465-8770 or text the keyword or go directly. I'm tired. It's been a long day. Go directly to KTTH.com. It's the Jason Rand Show.